Thanks a million, Darren. You might just get Dave McCarthy from, because I'm having awful trouble with my finances. I'd love to talk to him.
Well, Joe, we'll have to sort that out, John, because that's very, very important to get the finances right.
Thanks, Darren. I'll get you on that case, because I have the winner now for the Dubray competition. The winner today on this programme is Daniel Hackett of Moycullen. He wins a €50 Dubray voucher. So congratulations to you, Daniel. And also, just to remind you that the competition is moving from show to show this week, and it will be on the show tomorrow with Kate on the move, and it'll be with Ronan on the live wire on Friday as well. So stay tuned to win a €50 Dubray one for all voucher as well. Now though, I'm delighted to say we're going to move on now to finance, because I'm joined in studio by Dave McCarthy. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, John.
It's great to see you.
Great to see you too.
I thought you might be going to another festival. You're no interest in the ploughing, no?
Not quite my thing. I don't know if the music, that might be my cup of tea. If anybody knows me, and we won't go into that side of my life, but definitely not. It's not my thing.
Come here to me. We're going to look at financial advice, because private pensions are among 45 to 55-year-olds have dropped from 85% to 76% since 2022.
Yeah, it's a worrying trend. I mean, if you think of the age group 45 to 55, there are people who still probably have, certainly at the lower end of that range, maybe significant commitments, and maybe their circumstances with their outgoings every day is limiting their ability to have a contribute to a pension. But you know what? It's the elephant in the room, John. I mean, there's three things certain in life. First one is taxes. Second one, dare I say it, is death. Yeah. And the third one is, if you get that far, retirement. Okay. So you can't do anything about the first two, but you can do something about the third one. And not contributing to a pension, even if it's something, is better than nothing. Is, you know, there's something looming down the tracks, obviously, mm-hmm. and that you haven't provided for yourself. But again, it's one of these things, sometimes people think, what can I cut out, or what will I cut out? And for some reason, it's one of those that's near the top of the list. So a worrying trend, and that's only in a year, a drop of 85 to 76. It doesn't sound significant, but it actually is. Yeah. So if that continues, who knows?
It's interesting. And thousands of people have been sold life policies which they either do not understand or are inappropriate for them.
And why is that? First and foremost, the cost. Very simply, life policies, which if they're just straight death benefit, fall into two categories. Term policy, which is basically you take 100,000 out for 20 years, you pay €20 a month or whatever it is, it finishes at the end of that unless you die. I'll move on from that subject, I think, this morning. I mentioned it twice now about death.
I thought you were going to say the third one was you going to EP every year.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a certainty. And as you know, I'm going to get it next year. Anyway, we'll get back to this. So, and that is, I suppose, the cheapest type of policy you can take out. The second one is, which people do not understand very often, they can be sold, is what they call a whole of life. So basically, as the name suggests, it continues for your entire lifetime. But the problem is with it, it's unlike the first type of policy, you pay fixed premium and there's nothing changes. Whole of life policy gets much more expensive as you get older. So a lot of times people do not understand exactly what they have. And that's where they need to really educate themselves to understand, is this policy suitable for my needs? And the third category is serious illness. Serious illness can be quite an expensive policy. People again automatically think, oh, get a heart attack, I can make a claim, and that'd be an understandable thing. But no, it's what type of heart attack, how severe was it? And there's all sorts of different conditions attached to any illness that you might get as to whether or not you have a valid claim. Again, please educate yourself as to what you have, and in a new one, educate what you're taking out.
Yeah. Now, a question into us. I am making a reasonable profit on an investment. Should I take the money and run?
Yeah. I'm a great believer in that. You know, I'm not a believer in staying in an investment indefinitely. And I think, you know, if you're making a reasonable profit, and this person called it reasonable, We don't know what type of investment it is. It could be maybe shares, it could be an investment in a life insurance fund, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But the principle is, I do think you should take some money off the table, because the profit that you're making is not profit until you take the money out. Mm-hmm. And it's probably an investment that has some element of risk to it, and so therefore the values could go down. And mm-hmm. There's an old adage in the stock market, and it says, leave something on the table for the other fella. And what does that mean? Very simply, you know, get a nice profit, take it and go. And don't be like Sean Quinn and downright greedy.
Well, there's an add-on to this as well. Why taking a risk is not a bad thing.
No. There's sometimes I find that people don't understand two words in the financial world, because they have a misconception of it. Risk and recession. No, they're not linked. Mm. Recession is not such a bad thing. It's not a good thing. But it's not the doomsday. Recession is where the an economy goes into reverse for two quarters. It could be by a small amount, and then it could bounce back again. Mm-hmm. So it's not the Armageddon. And then again, don't be afraid of risk. You know, risk is something that you need to take if you want to make reasonable return. But understand what risk it is that you're taking. That's the most important part.
Mm. Now, another question in. I have rented the house that I used to live in for the last number of years. I'm just wondering, if I go to sell it, am I liable for capital gains tax?
Quite a common situation. We know that a lot of people moved out when they were seriously underwater in terms of the value of their house vis-a-vis the mortgage. In other words, negative equity. Some of them moved out and moved into home and then kept the property on, and now it's a rental property. Up to the time that you have occupied it as your home, you don't have any liability for capital gains tax. So let me give you an example. You buy a house in 2010 for 100,000. You leave it in 2015 and the value is 150,000, okay? And then you rent it from there on, and we'll just say today is worth 200,000. So realistically, it's the gain that you've made from the time you've moved out. In other words, when it was no longer your family home, to the gain up to the time that you sell the house. That's the portion you paid the capital gains tax, not on the original purchase price, because it was your home and now it's an investment.
Another question. I have a personal pension and I am likely to retire in about 3 years' time. I am invested in a medium risk fund. Should I look to reduce my risk exposure?
Yes. The closer you get to retirement date, the more important it is to preserve the value of what you had. Go back to one of the questions I mentioned earlier. Was a person asking about, should you take the profit and go? And again, taking money off the table. What you're doing is, if you take that fund that you have from medium risk into a low risk fund, maybe even into cash, at least 2 years before you retire, then you've preserved the value. You're not going to get any shocks or have any anguish if the value starts to go down, if you leave it where it is. So yes, you should reduce the risk dramatically from now on.
Mm. Now, another issue, the importance of educating yourself financially.
Again, I suppose really this question follows after many of the things we've discussed already. How important it is to understand your finances and any aspect of your finances. And, you know, obviously I work in the industry where I'm providing financial advice, and that's what I've been doing all my career. And obviously getting advice is very important. And in the same way, if you want to get a medical issue, you should go to your doctor, and legally you go to a lawyer. I suppose the difference between those and finance is that, yes, I do believe you should go online and educate yourself, but you need to know what it is you're reading. Okay, you need to know that you're on a site that is just providing you with, you know, general overview of whatever the issue it is. It's not like the poor misfortunate GP where people are walking in the door and have been looking online and trying to diagnose themselves. I mean, that must be their worst nightmare. So, you know, we're not doctors. If you want to go and get advice, get your health checked, you go to a doctor. If you want to get financial advice, you come to an advisor. But at the same time, in my domain, I think it's important that you do educate yourself, even generally. Mm-hmm. And the same would apply to understanding your taxes. You know, some people think it's a mystery. It's not, actually. You could probably go online or try to understand it by looking at your payslip and seeing what do these figures mean, and then getting some online tips.
Now, another question. Are on post interest rates still worth looking at?
Well, again, there's a bit of a misconception about unpost in the sense that some finance people think that unpost rates are always much more attractive than going into a bank. At the moment, they may be slightly, but that's not the issue. The issue is that unpost rates, like savings or savings bonds, in the past, and I'm going back many years, used to be more attractive than putting money into a bank account. The rates were more attractive. But since about 2013, 2014, unpost rates are influenced by general market rates. You might find maybe a slight fraction more than the bank account, or you may not. But is there this idea that automatically unpost rates are the most attractive place to go? That's not the case. They are influenced by market rates. So don't just automatically think that because it's unpost. And I'm not knocking unpost. I mean, you know, they have rates that may be more attractive. But as a general rule, it's not going to be dramatic, the difference.
Mm. And a final question for you, Dave. I have seen a lot of publicity about crowdfunding for small investors. Can you please explain to me how this operates?
Okay. The answer is in the title, crowdfunding. Basically, you are putting money through a crowdfunding firm that's established to raise money to put into maybe a small business. They're a middleman. So you are actually giving your money to a company and they're using it to fund maybe a business that's looking for it. You know, there aren't too many crowdfunding companies around. It's usually for smaller amounts. So you're joining in with other people. In other words, you become a crowd and then that broker type company then advances it to somebody, some business that's looking for it. It's very high risk, and that's the one thing I would say. Again, back to understanding what it is you're getting into. You know, if you're very worldly wise and you're prepared to take the risk, and I mean to the extent you make up your mind, if I lose it, I lose it, right? And that's it. You know, as they say again in the financial world, it's not a place for widows and orphans. Okay, so you do need to be careful and understand it. So that's what crowdfunding is, but okay, be careful.
Dave McCarthy of McCarthy Associates in Woodkey, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks.
Thank you, John.
Now to the comment lines very quickly. A coffee morning at the Beach Lodge B&B Curranduller tomorrow from 12 until 3 in aid of the hospice. Delighted to give that a mention. Just to let you know, the Croí Nua is running another Arts with a Twist evening. There's a great lineup with Ciultóirí Chonamara, artist Sarah Kine, writer Michael O'Gorman, and singer Cormac Corcoran. And they'd really like to mention that it's on Friday night at 7:30 in Croí Nua. That comes in from Francis. Also, could you please help? I'm trying to find a man who saved my life when I was 2 years old back in 1980-1981 in Cork, a place called Angler's Rest. This is something that I would love to do. If you could announce this on your station, I would really appreciate it. And this man has tried to contact me but failed, so he remembers the incident. And finally, there is no water in Coogan Park at the moment, so I might get my associate outside the window there, Darren Kelly, to have a look into why there is no water in Coogan Park. It might be up on irishwater.ie. So we'll try and find more details on that for you. Still to come on the programme today, we're looking at Noble Wards. It's a one-act play that comes to Gort next week. And we'll also have some live music with a Monaghan artist, Ryan Sheridan, who's playing in Munro's next week. So all that, plus lots more coming up between now and 12 noon. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Now, we're looking at a play which is taking place in Gort over the coming few weeks. It's Noble Wards, and it's a one-act play that is coming to Galway, and it's also touring all around Yeats country indeed as well. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Peggy Monaghan, the author, and also Anna O'Donnell, who's playing Lady Gregory and is the chairperson of the Yeats Thor Ballylee Society. And on the line, we also have Justin McDermott, who is playing John Middleton Singh. You're all very welcome into today's programme. I'll start with my two ladies in studio first. And Peggy, as the author, tell us a little bit about Noble Wards.
Hi, good morning. Well, I suppose Anna and I both work for the Yeats Thor Ballylee Society, and last year we were thinking of events that we could do this year to commemorate Yeats winning the Nobel Prize for Literature this year. So we had an idea for a film or a play, and with the help of Lelia Doolan, who's also on the board, she very much encouraged us towards the idea of a play. So it's, I suppose the central focus is really about the lecture that Yeats gave on the Irish dramatic movement. And Yeah, and it's about a 1 hour running time. And that's the gist of it, really.
Absolutely. We'll bring Anna into the discussion now. You're playing Lady Gregory. That's a tall task.
Very big shoes to fill. And it's interesting because it isn't just her, the words, which there are a lot. It's also nailing the accent.
Yeah.
And doing a lot of research just on Lady Gregory, who is a personal hero of mine. So
yeah. It's
a great honor to be able to bring her to life.
And did she have a big influence in that important week in Yeats's life?
Well, she had a big influence in the founding of the Abbey Theatre. Instrumental, incredibly strong woman, but she got things done. And so the Abbey Theatre wouldn't have happened without Yeats, Synge, and Lady Gregory.
Yeah. It's a huge part of Irish history, that Anglo-Irish revival. And I suppose
great that
you can commemorate that and bring it to life. And that part of Irish history that's forgotten, the women in Irish history as well, to really do that justice.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think she really has gotten the notice that she deserves, you know. And that whole cultural revolution that was going, you know, on alongside the political revolution, like, it was hugely important. And what they did, you know, it was for artistic freedom.
Mm. And talk to us a bit about your process, Peggy, as the author of Noble Words, and how you went about sort of putting it together and why you picked that week in particular.
Really, it was just such a pivotal week for Yeats. So it's kind of a snapshot into his life, what was happening at the time. When I started to write it, I, as I said, I got help from Lelia Doolin. So I suppose the heavy lifting was really in the research. You know, looking at the letters that they were writing to each other at the time, Our Irish Theatre by Lady Gregory, all of that kind of gave impetus to the play. And really, you know, it was a case then of looking at the lecture and then trying to make it as entertaining as possible. And that's where your other two guests come in, because that gives, I think, a really entertaining twist to the play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how would you describe the play? Is it a drama, or how would you frame it to people?
I would say it's kind of a docudrama.
Mm-hmm.
So if people have an interest in Yeats, wanting to celebrate the centenary, the founding of the Abbey Theatre, they'll come away with a lot more information about it, and probably a huge appreciation of what they did, you know, at that time in Ireland for the arts.
Yeah. So you're in Tor Ballylee tomorrow night at Yeats's home at 8. Then next week you'll be on the 29th and 30th, you'll be in the Town Hall Theatre in Gort at 8. And then on the 7th of October, you're in the Yeats building in Sligo at 1 in the afternoon. So people will have a few chances to get to see this.
Yeah, absolutely. There's really very few tickets left for tomorrow night, which I'm happy to say.
Mm-hmm.
There's more availability for the following weekend.
Yeah.
And then just to say as well, the Autumn Gathering is a celebration of Lady Gregory, and that group will be coming to the Friday night performance. And thrilled to say that Katrina Yeats, William Butler Yeats's granddaughter, will be coming to that performance on the 29th.
Okay. And as I said to you at the outset, it's great that this is being brought around Yeats' country. And it's been brought around by two people not from Yeats' country. And
yeah.
It's great to see the Irish diaspora are showing a great interest and bringing this forward.
Yeah.
Which has often been the case.
Yeah, we're both from the States. So,
yes.
But you won't know that when you hear Anna on the stage. She does an amazing job with the accent.
Good. We'll bring in Justin onto the conversation at the moment. Justin McDermott joins us. As I mentioned there at the offset, he is playing a very important role in this as well. He's playing John Middleton Synge. Justin, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. I'm definitely bringing up the Irish element here. You know, the Gort element of this production is myself. And yeah, as the guys were saying, it's a great honour to get to play James Synge in such and to tell the story of such a foundational period of time in Irish culture. And I also get to wear a really spectacular mustache as well too, John, which is always a pleasure. So it's a great honour and it's a great experience so far. So really looking forward to the play.
Absolutely. And as I said there, it's great to see that this is being brought all around Yeats' country, and it's a great opportunity for people to really get involved in the drama scene. There's great work being done there down in Tor Ballylee.
Yeah, and I think what's also important, certainly for me, as somebody that would have always had, you know, more than a passing interest in Irish literature, the development of the Irish literary movement, and particularly, look, because I'm from Gort and live in Gort, and as part of the Wild Swans Theatre company, which is where we're actors for in this production, you know, always have a passing interest. But in many ways, John, I always found that the characters like J.M. Singh and Lady Gregory and Yeats and everyone involved in that movement were almost like one-dimensional characters. There were people that we seen in a book and we seen their picture, we read their story, but to be able to bring that to life for people in 3D on stage is a great honor, and you know, hat off to Peggy for writing a wonderful play. And I think that anybody who attends will leave, I believe, having a much greater love of and appreciation for, you know, the incredible work that these people do, because I don't think we fully appreciate the effort they put in, but the challenges that they faced in creating the Irish literary movement, something that in some ways we kind of take for granted almost now, whereas the work that they were doing during that particularly turbulent time in Irish history is to be celebrated. And as I said, it's a great honour to be part of the production and to be working with such great actors and great writers and with Lilia and with Marion, who's our director. It's just been a wonderful experience, and I've no doubt that anyone who attends will really, really thoroughly enjoy the experience.
Yeah, you can tell you're really enjoying it as well, Justin. What was it like playing alongside Anna in studio here as Lady Gregory?
Well, she said, mentioning filling the shoes, I can tell you she certainly filled the shoes. So you're under no illusion whatsoever that this incredibly powerful, strong woman, gifted woman, and again, a woman from South Galway here, very proud of her, we are all. But, you know, Anna does it brilliantly. And I think, again, you know, bringing that character to life, she was a very strong woman. She was a very passionate woman. She was a very gifted woman. She had great diplomacy, but at the same time, she had great strength, and she could certainly give her point of view and her influence on Yeats, and again, her influence on the movement, as Peggy said, is somewhat understated. And we hope that the work that Anna is doing in bringing her character to life puts Lady Gregory front and centre where she deserves to be.
And so say all of us. Justin, thanks for joining us. I'll go back to my two ladies in the studio. Peggy, I suppose the passion that Justin has there, that you can hear in his voice, and it's so, there's great ownership of this in Gort.
Yeah, and I mean, I can see it in the rehearsals. You know, obviously when you're writing something, it's just in your head, and like, they've really brought the characters to life the way I would have visualized it. So it's just been an amazing experience for me to kind of see it from start to finish. And they're just a really talented theatre group, the Wild Swans, and I was so happy when they said that they would take it on. You know, I should mention as well, you know, we're getting funding from Galway County Council and Creative Ireland for this and all the events that we're doing to celebrate the Yeats centenary at the Yeats Tor Ballylee Society. So that's been really important, you know, that support from them has enabled us to do this as well.
Absolutely. And Anna, I'll put the question back to you as well. Justin, a lot of energy, that young man as well. And I'd say he's keeping you on your toes there on stage as well.
Yes, he's wonderful to act with. Everyone is just a delight to be around. And I think we all share equal passion for the project.
Great stuff. And Peggy, final word to you there. As I mentioned, it's on tomorrow night. You said there's limited tickets for that, but it is back next week on the 29th and 30th in the Town Hall Theatre in Gort at 8 o'clock. And also it'll be in the Yeats building in Sligo at 1 o'clock on the 7th of October as well. So best way of getting and reserving tickets?
People can ring a number 087-6360-895. And they can reserve their tickets, and their names will be on the door. They're €10 each. The matinee in Sligo is half price. So, it should be affordable, hopefully, to everybody.
It sounds very reasonable. I don't know where you get a play for €10 or €5 as it is up in Sligo. And how long does it run for? What's the runtime?
Just about an hour.
An hour?
Yeah.
So very accessible for everyone.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you all the best. Look, I know rehearsals are going very well, and we wish you all the best. Noble Words, a one-act play by Peggy Monaghan. It is coming to the Thorballylee tomorrow at 8 o'clock, on the 29th and 30th September in the Town Hall Theatre in Gort at 8 o'clock, and also to the Yates Building in Sligo at 1 o'clock on the 7th of October. 087-636-0895 to reserve your tickets for that. We're back with live music after these. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Now, I just want to announce there that Ballinasloe Traveller Women's Group are organising a culture night on the 22nd of September at 5 to 7. All are welcome, and they hope to see you all there on the day. So delighted to give that a mention as well. And we might have more on the County Galway culture night events on tomorrow's programme. More about that later on. Now, though, I'm joined in studio by Ryan Sheridan, because he plays Munro's next week, and he's come in. He's going to have a chat with us, and he's going to play some live music as well. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Great,
how are you?
Great to have you with us. Did you come all the way down from Monaghan today?
I was down yesterday, and I came from Dublin. So we had a great night in Galway last night.
Great.
As you do.
Anything you can tell us on air?
Probably not. Probably not. It's the usual, though. You have lovely pints of Guinness, and then, you know, one thing leads to another, and then it's a late night.
Absolutely, and then you make music then from there.
Exactly.
Ryan, talk to us about your career. You've had a great career to date. You've been on the go now for over a decade, and just talk to us about some of the highlights for you personally.
I mean, it's been a roller coaster, really. You know, since I released my first single, which was Jigsaw, 13 years ago. So it's been a whirlwind. I mean, done a lot of big supports at the start when I was still busking. We done some supports for Bryan Adams and Taylor Swift, and you know, they were pretty much the highlights. We were doing them, and then we were busking on the street later on that night. So it was a crazy kind of a time, you know.
And you were able to dance as well.
I do a bit of dancing. I was doing a bit of dancing last night as well. I was in Riverdance when I was 15. I joined it when I was 15 and started touring with them when I was 16. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up on Broadway for a couple of years, and that's where I kind of started writing music first. It's such a melting pot of a city, you know, so I had to find a way to express what I was, you know, living there and that, you know.
Yeah. And how is the music going these days? I know you'll have a big album coming up in the new year.
Yes, I've an album coming up in April of next year. I've a new single coming out very soon. And I'm very excited about this album. Very, very excited about this album, John. It's definitely one of the most... It's definitely one of the most excited I've been in a long time. So...
Great.
Yeah.
And the latest single you've out is called Love and War. Tell me a bit about that.
Love and War, yeah. That was something that I had on my phone from 2016, and I never got finishing it. And it was just something that I really wanted to do. And I done it over lockdown, and I finished it up over lockdown, and then it was just time to release it then. I think it was this year. Yeah, earlier this year. So.
Okay. Good, yeah. Good. And you're going to play a bit of music for us now, Ryan. Fine Wine. Tell me a bit about that.
Fine Wine was a song... So over lockdown, as you know, there was nothing going on at all, especially for musicians. So I didn't write any music at all, really. I done a project album called Americana, which was songs that were inspiring for me. A country rock album, you know. Mm-hmm. But on the back of that, I wrote this song. And it's kind of like, you know, what was I experiencing in lockdown? You know, how important the, you know, family was and everything like that there. So this is just something to reflect that.
Brilliant. In your own time, Ryan.
Thanks.
Bags and we'll hit the road. Don't know where we're going, but we gotta go. We've been hanging around this town for far too long. There's a place I know that I think you like. We could lose ourselves through the morning light. Leave it all behind us when we're gone. Life's a fine wine, bittersweet from time to time, but it tastes much better with you, yeah. We could stay a little longer if it feels right. Talk about living up and getting by, laying down some roots in a place of our own. Like a high-speed train on a crooked track, we got our ups and downs that try to hold us back. But whatever comes our way, we'll take it on. 'Cause life's a fine wine, bittersweet from time to time, but it tastes much better with you. Time to time, it tastes much better with you. Then the band stands up and plays your favorite tune. And as you dance through the crowd, I just stare at you. Life's a fine wine, bittersweet from time to time, but it tastes much better with you. Oh, oh. Yeah, life's a fine wine, bittersweet from time to time, but it tastes much better with you. Yeah, life's a fine. Bittersweet from time to time, it tastes much better with you.
Oh, well done, well done. Ryan Sheridan, take a bow. Fine wine, fine wine. I absolutely love that song.
Thank you very much, John.
Love
Thank
it.
You.
And I love the, it. I love the sentiments of it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was an important one for me.
And is the when you say life's a fine wine, is it just all about life, or is there a woman involved here? Or?
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. I'm happily married with two beautiful little kids,
of course.
And so yeah, that's definitely what it's all about.
Great stuff, great stuff. And now I know you're playing in Munro's on Saturday week, the 30th of September, and it's your first time back gigging in Galway 5 years.
It is.
You must
it's
be looking
way
forward to
too
it.
Long. I love playing in Galway, and it's been way too long, so I'm absolutely ecstatic about coming back on the 30th of September in Munro's. I hope to see you all there.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of people drinking fine wine that night.
There will, hopefully we'll see. You never know what'll happen that night, but I'm very excited about it, and it's great to be back.
Great stuff. And as I mentioned, you're working through, you have a big tour coming, so if people can't make it to that night, you're going to be in Limerick on the 6th of October, Kilkenny the 13th of October, Dundalk the 20th of October. On the 4th of November you're in Monaghan, and then the 11th of November you're finishing up in Dublin. I'd say that Monaghan gig is going to be a special one for you as well.
It will. I haven't played in Monaghan either for a long time.
Wow.
As well, so it's going to be a nice homecoming gig, so yeah, I'm excited.
And what venue are you in Dublin or Monaghan, or whereabouts are you based
in? The venues, I'm in the Grand Social in Dublin.
Oh, good spot, yeah.
And then we are in the Squealing Pig in Monaghan. So
Squealing Pig
in Monaghan. It's right slap bang in the middle of the town, so
the little I'm from a little rural place in Mayo, and the pub across the road from me was called the Squealing Pig. I didn't know there was another one. So
Neither
yeah, jeez, we're bonded that way, Ryan. We're bonded that way. That's great. So if people want to get more details, they can go onto Munro's website and buy tickets there, or do you have your own website?
Yes, you can get them from Munro's, or you can get them through my socials as well, which is at Ryan Sheridan Music. So all the dates are on there.
At Ryan Sheridan Music. And yeah. Fine Wine and his latest single is Love and War. He'll have an album coming out next April. So it's all going to be busy for you over the next few months.
Busy. I'm very excited, yeah.
Best of luck with it. I'll have to follow you on the Spotify as well after this as well, Ryan. But thanks for coming into studio and playing for us. Beauty music. And it's actually music I think will sound even better yet, if that's possible, with a big band around you as well. So I'd look forward to hearing that live.
Great. I appreciate it.
Ryan Sheridan, thank you for joining us here on Galway Talks this morning. Coming up on the programme tomorrow, we have a busy programme lined up already. Over €140,000 raised by David Cox fundraiser for Galway Hospice. We have one of the family members on to discuss that. Crime Victims Helpline reports 78% increase in calls relating to LGBTQ and racist hate crime, as well as a notable increase in calls relating to cybercrime in 2022. We have the Connacht Tribune headlines. Callan Tansey solicitors to host fourth Pathways to Progress Medical Legal Conference. Diabetes Ireland survey provides groundbreaking insights on experiences of people living with diabetes in Ireland, highlighting the need for development of a national diabetes strategy. We also have Declan O'Rourke on with us. His Whisper from Oblivion book will be discussed, as well as his upcoming tour. Declan will be playing live for us tomorrow as well. One of my favourite artists. Can't wait to have him on tomorrow. We also have Ours to Protect. We'll be speaking about National Tree Day, and we're discussing all things Culture Night in Galway County with Sharon O'Grady and much, much more. So all that plus lots more coming up tomorrow on Galway Talks. And that is where we make our leave on this programme for Wednesday, the 20th of September. Join us again tomorrow. I'm in the hot seat tomorrow and on Friday as well. If you want to get a comment into us, you can on our text and WhatsApp number. That's 086 38 33 553. You can phone reception 09177 0077. The email address is comments@goibayfm.ie. Thank you to Darren Kelly and Quiva, my producers out there this morning. Thank you to Siobhan, who took your calls on reception. Up next is Ronan Lardner with the Livewire. Stay safe and have a very good afternoon.